Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is God's word. And again, please welcome Emma.
Good morning. My name is Emma, and I am so excited to be here with you guys at Harbor. I've heard a lot of great things about you, and I'm just excited to get to know you more. And before I do that, I wanted to tell you a little bit about myself. And so I'm a born and raised New Englander, and will like claim Rhode Island to be my home now, and have taken on a lot of Rhode Islander ways of life. I was born in Massachusetts, and so I feel like we can relate on that level. I did hear your student group went to Canby Lake Park yesterday. That was like my childhood spot, and so I was so excited to hear you guys got to go there. I do work for Sojourn Collegiate Ministry, which is a mission partner of Harbor, and we are just so thankful for you guys. You guys do a lot for us, and we just truly appreciate it. And our mission is to invite college students to discover God's dream. But a majority of our students are students that would never set foot in the doors of a church on their own and are what we would call in their pre-belief part of their journey, just meaning they don't know who Jesus is yet. And so we don't guarantee they'll follow Jesus when they leave their time with us. That's just not something we can control as much as sometimes we really want to. But we do guarantee that they will have a guide for along the way, someone who will walk with them, who will encourage them, say the hard things, tell them the truth, laugh with them, cry with them, cheer them on. We would do our best to be a Jesus-like figure in their life and modeling what Jesus loves look like. And sometimes I laugh at this analogy because when I think of a guide, I think it's someone who's really good at giving directions, like how to get from point A to point B. And I actually don't have that skill. There's something about giving directions that like I know how to get to a place, but there's just a disconnect from my like brain to my mouth. I just can't tell someone how to get to places. Also, getting directions on how to get to places is just, there's just a disconnect. I don't understand what happens. And this really came to be a problem a few years ago when my family was on a hike in New Hampshire. My parents have become avid hikers the past couple years. I like to joke our basement looks like an REI now. They just have like a wall of like stuff. And so while I call this a hike, it was a little bit more of just like an aggressive walk in the woods. So my aunts and uncles were visiting in town. And so it's like the short walk that my parents love. It follows this river. It's beautiful, but it has other trailheads. So more like of a typical hike that you might think where there's like incline and you like summit a mountain. And so we were really excited. My sister and I tagged along because there are spots you can swim in that river. And it was a hot July afternoon, so we were pumped to go with them. But another thing to note is that my mom loves the gift of time. So oftentimes, my sister and I leave our cell phones in the car, which looking back was not super smart. And you're probably putting two and two together. I'm not great with directions, and I don't have my cell phone. So let's just say that when my mom gave my sister and I directions on how to get to this swimming hole so we could run ahead, swim, and then they'd meet up with us in a little bit, ended with my sister and I doing the entire hike. We like summited the mountain. I was just in Tevas. Luckily, my sister had her Apple Watch. So we had a little bit of like timing. We did have our water bottles. And my sister just kept saying if she got sunburnt, mom couldn't get mad at her. And looking back, it only gave my mom like 10 minutes of panic, so it wasn't terrible. We did find her, and it was a beautiful hike. We laugh about it now, but us taking a slightly wrong turn drastically changed our path for the day. And I think this is a great picture for what I want to talk about today. The choices that my sister and I made, whether intentional or not, put us on a different path than we were expecting. Just like the choices that we make day in and day out can drastically change the path that we're on in life. Sometimes the choices we make don't necessarily have a long-term impact, like what we have for lunch or the outfit we're wearing. That just normally happens right then and there. Other times, our choices have a much longer impact about like who you marry, what job you work, if you go to college. These have longer term impacts. And other times, other people's choices impact us, and there's really nothing we can do about it. This is like where you're born, who your family is, or certain things that happen in your childhood. These can have much long-term impacts. And while I was thinking about this, I came upon this in research where it says, on average, a person makes 35,000 choices a day. So that breaks down to about 2,000 decisions an hour, or about one decision every 2 seconds. I think that is absurd, an absurd amount of choices to make in a day. And some of these are like subconscious. It's just the things your body knows how to do, like breathing and blinking. But there still takes a little bit of a toll on you. And I know for me, sometimes when there are choices ahead of me, I can get in like a little tornado of questions. So it'd be like, okay, how do I make this decision? What are the choices I have? How do I know this choice is putting me on the right path? How do I even know I'm on the right path? Can I just have someone make the decision for me? And maybe I don't want other people to make decisions for me. And then I remember it's like only 10 in the morning and I have 24,000 other choices I have to make today. And I know sometimes that can make me feel panicky and overwhelmed. But then I remember that there's something available to us today to help us with these choices and figuring out the path that we're on. And that's wisdom. A very simple definition of wisdom, it's the ability to apply knowledge, experience, and deep understanding to make sound decisions and navigate life effectively. Again, it's this ability to apply knowledge, experience, and deep understanding to make sound decisions and navigate life effectively. And so we have wisdom available to us today, but not just any kind of wisdom. We have wisdom given by God. Wisdom to help us navigate the kind of world that we are living in and what it looks like to live well in a broken world. And so today we're going to use Psalm 1. Just to kind of look at how we have these two paths ahead of us and how these choices may determine the path that we're on and how wisdom can help us make those choices. And before we really dig into Psalm 1, I wanted to give some context of where we are in Scripture. And so the Bible is split up into two parts. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Psalms is found in the Old Testament, which is just a collection of writing of books that happen in time before Jesus was on earth. And Psalms specifically is 150 prayers, songs, and poems that just span over ancient Israel's history. Now, about 73 of these were written by King David, just David and Goliath, while some others were written by other authors, including Solomon and Moses, while about 50 of them were written either anonymously or we just weren't sure who wrote them. And so that includes Psalm 1. Mostly what the Psalms look at is it just covers pretty much every human emotion. So if you've felt it, it's been written about in Psalms. And so what Psalms encourages us to do is to not ignore the emotions we're feeling, but it also encourages us not to let it determine how we live our life. And so if you're feeling something, I encourage you, there's a Psalm, check it out. But Psalm 1 is actually the introduction into this book. And so it displays these two distinct paths of life that are ahead of us as we figure out these choices. And so I just want to break it down verse by verse. So we're going to start here in verse 1, where it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." And I just think that's an incredible way to start off a book and a psalm. And something else to note is that a lot of these psalms were written in ancient Hebrew, which is a much broader language than English. And by no means am I a Hebrew scholar whatsoever. I've just come upon a couple of things if I've been doing this research. And so typically, when the word that is used to translate into blessed from the ancient Hebrew, it's the word that means someone who's experiencing God's favor and abundance in their life. But the Hebrew word that was used here actually means something different. It refers to someone who is talking about someone who's experiencing God's favor and abundance in their life and just saying how desirable and good it is. So it'd be like saying, wow, the good life of that person who, and then it's talking about these three choices this person has made. The choice not to walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. It's these three actions, walking, standing, and sitting, followed by these three words that actually describe very destructive ways of being human, all that look away from goodness. And so I think it goes back to this idea, how do these choices we make and how do they dictate the life of the path of life we are on? And so the psalm then continues. but whose delight is in the law of, or in law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. I think this is how we can make these choices, or at least better choices, meditating on the teachings and wisdom of God and doing it continuously, bringing awareness to what God has said, what he has called us to do, where he has invited us to be, who to spend our time with, and what he's already doing. We're going to get more into specifics of that in a little bit, but that's just, I think it's really cool where we'll see that this psalm kind of has this logical, almost equation. And so this part ends here where it says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So it has this kind of like equation where it's like, if you don't do this and you do do this, this is the type of person you'll be. And so this is the result of meditating on the teachings and wisdom of God. Someone who is planted like a tree producing fruit and does not wither. Again, it has this very like action language where it's planted and yields and not withering and prospering. But this time, full of language that is full of life, trees and fruit and leaf. And I think it's, I like how it mirrors this first verse where it has that action language where it's walking and standing, sitting, planted, yielding, not withering. And I think it reminds us how we have to take action in our life. Where are we putting ourselves? Again, what are the choices we're making? The people we surround ourselves, what are we meditating on? All this action leads to the life we live, hopefully on this path of life, a life that is desirable by others. This makes me think of how in scripture, it's often talked about that the fruit that we produce in our life is seen and felt by others, and how we want to be people that are producing good fruit. And I'm very lucky to be surrounded by people that produce good fruit in their life. And one of those people is Beth. Beth is the director of our board, and she lives in Tennessee, so we don't get to see her often. But when we do, it's one of my favorite times. And so we actually just got to see her at the beginning of June, and she actually got to share her dissertation. She just finished her doctorate. We're super proud of Dr. Beth now. But after she shared her dissertation, it was maybe a me putting my foot in a mouth moment where I went up to her and I said, Beth, in the healthiest way possible, I want to be like you. And she kind of laughed and she was like, no, like be Emma. That's the best thing. And I was like, you're right. Okay. But what As I was thinking through it, what I realized is what I was trying to say is I want to be a person who produces good fruit like Beth. She is someone that cares so deeply for the people around her. She exudes this joy and peace that is just so felt because you know she spends time with Jesus. And she has this wisdom and discernment that she shares when it's appropriate, and she shares it so generously. And so it's apparent she's producing good fruit in her life. And so that's why I wanted to be like her. And so it was kind of a funny moment. But again, I just asked this question, like, how do we produce this good fruit in our life? And how does this help us make these choices? And it just keeps going back to this meditating on and living out the teachings and wisdom of God. And all of this will hopefully lead to a path of life. And so this is where the first part of our psalm kind of ends. Like I said, it has this logical kind of following of if you don't do this and you do this, you'll be this type of person. Well, the next part of our psalm continues here. And it says this, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. And I think this is just very different language right off the bat. We have this person who is wicked and they are like a chaff, which is just an empty husk of wheat that has since flaked off and is just being blown around by the wind. So it's unstable, producing nothing. And in comparison, there's this person who is good and they're stable, planted like a tree, firmly planted and producing fruit. And I think this language makes it a little easy to dismiss for my life. I know for me, I hear wicked and I don't think of myself. If I'm honest, I think of Disney villains, specifically like Hades, Pain and Panic from Disney's Hercules. These are these cartoon characters that are kind of cute, definitely funny, but almost easy to characterize as evil. I mean, their whole plan, they steal a baby, they manipulate innocent people into dark deals, all in their attempt to overthrow Zeus to gain power and control of the people in the area. And I know it's a silly example, but I think it's true because I know I do it. I hear this language of wickedness and I just write it off because it's easy to compare myself to these obvious acts of wickedness that I don't do. And to put it into like today's context and take it out of a Disney movie, it'd be like committing murder or scamming people out of their life savings. Like these are things I'm not doing. Therefore, I am not wicked. But when I look again at this verse, maybe I am. And so it says here, the wicked are like chaff, which are empty husks of wheat, easily blown around by the wind. And the more that I think about it, like that is something I am. I am sometimes empty. I'm not stable. And I'm easily blown around by the ways of the world. There are moments, days, and seasons where I am that. I'm empty. I'm unkind. I'm prideful and jealous. I'm mean, selfish, unfaithful. So I think then I am a chaff and therefore I'm wicked. I'm not producing good fruit. So if the path of my life isn't producing good fruit and it's wicked, I think it leads to this path of destruction, a path that is in front of us if we so choose. And so this is where our psalm wraps up. It says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And this is where our psalm ends. Two paths ahead of us, a path of life and goodness, or a path of wickedness and destruction. I think both of these paths are actually very human. And it's just the choices of the path lies in if we choose to meditate on and live out the teachings and wisdom of God. And I know this might feel a little unattainable or daunting or overwhelming. And so we're going to talk about that in a second. But before we do that, I just wanted to give you a couple of resources if you're interested as you dig into Psalms and as you head into these books of wisdom of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Job. I'm pretty sure you guys are using the book of the Bible Recap, which is a great resource. I highly recommend that. I also use the Bible Project for a lot of my research. They have great YouTube videos on that, like break down these books and give you specifics that might help give you context. And so these are some great resources if you're looking to supplement scripture as you're reading. And so just check that out if you're interested. Okay. But if it's, again, we're trying to figure out what are these teachings and wisdom of God and how can we make these better choices to get us on this path of life? So I think that begs the question, how in today's world do we meditate on and live out the teachings and wisdom of God? And again, I want to break this down piece by piece. So let's start here. What are the teachings and wisdom of God? I think this is a few things. I think it's scripture. It's spending time in Jesus's words, knowing what he says, how he spent his time, who he spent his time with, how he fulfills the Old Testament, and how he influences the early church. It's just reading your Bible, getting to know what God says. I think it's taking intentional time to pray. Are you talking to God? Are you asking him what he's doing in your life? Are you telling him how you're feeling, what you're processing? And then I think it's taking even more time to then listen to what he's saying to you. And then I think it's inviting Holy Spirit into your life to see how you can discern and use the wisdom available to you. Jesus says in John 14:26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And so the Holy Spirit is available to us today. I think we are able to use that in ways, again, to help us with this wisdom and discernment. And I think it's spending time in community, specifically a community that's going to help you out and do these things, that are going to encourage you, hold you accountable to reading your Bible, spending time in prayer, reminding you who you are and that Holy Spirit is available to you. And what all these things look like in your life should be more specific to you. And it can change from season to season, but I encourage you to find these rhythms of these things in your life. I know for me, this looks a little different in the summer. I have a little bit more free time just now with college students being gone. So if I'm honest, it becomes a little less structured and almost more spontaneous. While during the school year, when my calendar tends to fill up more quickly, I have to be very intentional and aware about making time to do these things so that I know I'm spending time with Jesus. So now that we have a little bit of an understanding of these teachings and wisdom of God that are available to us, what does it mean to actually meditate on and live these things out? Because just knowing the teachings and wisdom of God isn't enough. We actually have to meditate on and live them out. Because I can know all the soccer plays. I can know how to train, what the rules are. I can know the strategies and all this knowledge about soccer. But that doesn't put me on the pitch playing in the World Cup. Puts me on the couch watching it. So to meditate on something means to intentionally practice bringing awareness to it. And I think I really like this idea of meditate because it has like this mental component where it's like this awareness and attention, but it also has this physical component, the practice part, that I think leads perfectly into this idea of living it out. So how are we physically doing this? How are you taking this knowledge and applying it to your everyday life? Because the next time I feel anxious, Instead of focusing on that anxiety, it's meditating on and bringing awareness to the scripture that Jesus is with me in that anxiety, and then trying to find ways that he's physically there with me in that space. I can know the scripture about loving my neighbor, but am I actually loving my neighbor? Am I inviting them over for dinner? Am I helping them when it snows? Am I helping them with the pickup line or bringing over groceries or just loving them where they're at? In my finances, I can just have a budget, but in this part, it's meditating on what it means to steward my money well. It's making a budget and then sticking to it and being generous to those around you. And these are just a few examples, but this should apply to all aspects of your life. These are the choices that we're making every day that put us on this path of life instead of the path of destruction. And I can say, I'd stand up here and be like, this is so easy. I got it all figured out. But then I'd be lying to you, and I don't want to be a liar. This isn't easy. But what I have found to help make it easier is what I mentioned earlier. Find your people, find your community, talk to them, be honest, have them encourage you and hold you accountable. Find those people who are going to remind you of the truth and just call you back to who Jesus is. Imagine what our communities would look like if they were full of people making choices, putting us on the path of life. What would our schools look like? Our offices, our grocery stores, our sports teams, our art communities. I think it would look a lot better than it does. But the reality of this is we're still going to get it wrong because we are broken people living in a broken world. But we have the grace of Jesus that covers us. We are always going to make choices that aren't good, that are wicked, because we're sinners. So we're going to walk in the way or in step with the wicked. We're going to stand in the ways the sinners take, and we're going to sit in the company of mockers. But there is a God that is with us, with calling us back with open arms, loving us right where we're at. And he gave his only son as a sacrifice for our sins so that we might have the choice to walk in this path of life. So let's pray. God, I'm just so thankful to be here this Sunday morning and that we get to spend time with you and these people. And I'm just so grateful that you give us the choice to choose and to choose the path of life. And I thank you that when we make choices that are wrong and put us in this other path, that you were there calling us back time and time again. And I'm just thankful for Jesus and how you gave him as a sacrifice for our sins. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.